Good evening. I don't know about that, Dave, about the Toshiba thing. Seriously, it just decided to perform an update. So I was actually singing the worship songs and just saying, God, please let it be quick and successful. It was, so we've got God's message tonight, which is great. Ooh. So we're talking about fulfillment tonight, and kind of looking at the booklet that came out on this series. We've had Rethink Drink, we've had Feels Good, So How Is It So Wrong? We've got Gambling Our Lives Away, Prison of Pornography come in, Spending, and Watch Your Words on the Web. And I think fulfillment kind of encapsulates quite a lot of what this whole series is about. But fulfillment, the definition of fulfillment is actually the achievement of something desired. Because our desires can get a little bit skewy, can't they, sometimes? My desire last Saturday night at 10:45 was Haagen-Dazs caramel, salted caramel ice cream. I went to Asda, 10:45 in the evening. 10:45 in the evening, got there, and there was no Haagen-Dazs ice cream. So I found an Asda man and forced him to go and get one from the stock room. He came back with icicles and stuff. I went, thanks, mate. I really needed that Haagen-Dazs. I actually asked Timmy just before I came out today, if you could have one desire, one thing, Timmy, what would it be? And he took ages. He was like really pondering this. I'm thinking, wow, he's going deep. He's only six. And he sat there and I said, eventually I had to come here. So I said, listen, Timmy, just tell me. And he went, I can't decide if I could be one thing in life between Batman and Spider-Man. What else did I expect, really, to be quite honest with you? But the kind of definition of fulfillment is how do we find what do we desire? What do we want? It's the achievement of that. What's our priority? There's a story of a prosperous young man, and he's a commercial banker, and he's just bought his first brand new BMW. So he goes from the garage and he's driving this brand new BMW of his, and he's loving it. And he's going round these mountains, these high cliff edges, and then suddenly he gets to one of the turns in the kind of precipice, and he hits a bit of oil, and the car starts sliding towards the edge of this great big drop. And it can see that his car's going to go over, and he's in it. And just before it goes over, he manages to open the door and just jump out. But as he jumps out, unfortunately, he catches his arm and he loses it. And there's a trucker just behind this guy in the BMW, and he stops, obviously, thinking, I'll help this guy. So the trucker runs over to the man, and this man is just stood at the edge of this precipice, looking down at his BMW that's completely ruined, on fire, and he's going, my brand new BMW, my brand new BMW. And the trucker just kind of taps him and says, listen, mate, I think we've got a little bit more to worry about than your BMW. And the guy goes, just look at where your arm was. And he looks and he goes, my brand new Rolex. My brand new Rolex. But our priorities can be wrong sometimes, can't they? We can often get our priorities completely wrong. And what we think will fulfill us doesn't fulfill us. I wonder where our priorities are this evening. I wonder where we look for fulfillment. At work, is it that you're looking for that promotion and that will fulfill you? Or that extra wage increase and that will fulfill you? Have you heard the term, if I could just XXX, then I'd die a happy man. Yeah, that's what we do. We're at work and we're thinking, if I could just get that promotion, I'd be so happy. I'd be so fulfilled. Or at home, what's our priorities at home? Where do we try to find fulfillment there? Is it one more extra bedroom to build? Or is it a new car? Is it the perfect garden? Is it the conservatory or a kitchen that's going to fulfill? So that's my priority, if I could get that. What about with family? Where do our priorities lie there? What do we look for in fulfillment with our family? Is it for the kids to do well at school? Is it to go on holiday at least once or maybe twice a year? That's our priority when it comes to our family. Is it for our family to look good? You know, for our family, for people to look at our family and say, yeah, that's a nice family. Do you know, apologies if I've said this, I'm getting on a bit now, but apologies if I've said this before, but we were once in Pizza Hut and there was me, Luke was about 8 years old, and we had Sarah and Timmy, trying to remember all my kids' names, and like I said, I'm getting on. So yeah, we were there and there was three of us, and me and Lorraine were having a lovely pizza. And this lady came over to us and just said, I just want to say something. I just want to say, you have got a beautiful family. And I thought, oh, that's really nice. And Luke just turned around. He was about 7 or 8. Just turned around and went, yeah, in public. Can always count on Luke. But what do we look for in our family? What about where are our priorities in our personal lives? Where do they lie? Is it to, I don't know, maybe to lose a few pounds? Maybe to get fit? If I can just get that little bit fitter or lose those pounds or whatever, then that's where I'll be fulfilled. And you know, there is nothing wrong with the things that I've just mentioned. There's absolutely nothing wrong with these. God doesn't want you to go on tonight and eat a litre of ice cream because God told you that you're not to prioritise your diet. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want that. He don't want you to go to work tomorrow and not do anything because you're not bothered about promotion. He wants you to do well in life. And there's nothing wrong with wanting those things. We're allowed to have aspirations. We're allowed to work on having a good life and providing a good life for our families and for the people that surround us. These things are great, but don't seek fulfillment in these things. We won't get fulfilled with these things. Because there's always a better promotion. There's always one more thing we can improve on at home. There's always a new iPad or a new car that we can get. There's always room for improvement with the kids' education. I know. There is. There's always room for improvement. There'll always be another couple of pounds we can lose. Which means, in turn, that if we put our stock and try to find fulfillment in these things that are never-ending, really, because there is always one more step, we're never going to find fulfillment in it. God's wants us to be better than that. Because if we try and find fulfillment in that, we're not achieving our potential. Steve Jobs, has anybody heard of Steve Jobs? Yes. There's been two movies about him. You must have seen one of them. Okay. So Steve Jobs, he's the founder of Apple. He's the founder and creator of Apple. And he once had a meeting with a man called John Sculley. Does anybody know who John Sculley is? Probably not. Oh, right, yeah, I knew you would. John Sculley was basically, for those that don't know, he was like he was one of the top marketing guys for Pepsi at the time. And as we know, Pepsi has a great reputation, has a really good reputation. And because Steve Jobs had just created Apple, he wanted this John Sculley to come over to Apple and do the same for Apple as he'd done for Pepsi. So he had a meeting with him, and he got him on board, according to John Sculley, with one line. And that was, Steve Jobs said to John Sculley, do you want to sell sugared water for the rest of your life, or do you want to come with me and change the world? Wow. Yeah. I just want to run out and work for Apple right now. But what an amazing statement. Do you want to sell sugared water? Or do you want to come with me and change the world? And if we're trying to be fulfilled by our worldly stuff, we're really not achieving what God wants. We're just selling sugared water when in actual fact, we could find fulfillment in changing the world through Jesus Christ. That is fulfillment. And also, by putting stock in what we can achieve for God, we can be fulfilled no matter where we are or what situation we're in. We can be truly fulfilled. And we can see this from Paul's letter. And this is kind of what grabbed me on this, was because Paul writes this letter as a source of encouragement to people who are finding, they were already finding fulfillment in Christ. But he also reminds them of where their fulfillment is sourced. And we can learn from Paul's letter, in actual fact, where Paul finds fulfillment. If we're going to learn from anybody, Paul's a great person to start with. Because when he writes in the piece of scripture that we've heard, I'm going to read it again. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Bear in mind, Paul is in prison writing this. I thank my God. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. That's how he opens up. That's how Paul opens up. You know, Paul could have thought, you know what? I'm in prison. I'm cold. It's wet. I'm hungry. I've hardly any clothes. I've got some good friends over here. I might write to them and say, hey, guys, could you organise a prison break for me, please? Because if I can just get out of this prison, that would be, I'd die a happy man. If I could just get out of this prison. He could have maybe even asked them to send some warm clothes over, or he could have asked them to send some food, or just to make his life a little bit better in prison. But he doesn't, because he's not thinking, if I could just get out of this prison, I'd die a happy man. That would fulfill me. Paul finds fulfillment in what others are doing. Even though he's in prison, chained, he's thankful. That's the word he used. He's thankful. He's joyful, the words he used. He's confident, the words he used. Why? Because Paul loves these people. Paul cares about these people. Paul has found fulfillment in seeing the results of Christ that he planted working in these people. He has salvation. Paul has salvation. Paul is going to get this great eternal life. And he is so thankful that these guys are now going to get it as well. He's so thankful that the fact he's in prison is secondary. He doesn't even mention it. His priorities lied in seeing God working in others. And that's where he finds fulfillment, in the work of God. And he goes on to let them know what he wants, that he wants them to have the same experience of fulfillment, in fulfillment as he does. Because he goes on and he says, and this is my prayer. So he starts with, I'm happy, I'm joyful, and I'm confident in you guys. There is what, this is my prayer for you. That your love may abound more and more in two things, knowledge and depth of insight. Paul tells them, listen, I want you guys to know that love is the key here because that's what God is. Let everything you do stem from a heart that loves. In particular, use what you know, your knowledge. Use your knowledge. Don't use your knowledge to try and find fulfillment in gaining stuff in work or even anything else like that. Don't use your knowledge for trivial things. But rather, use your knowledge from a source of love. Use your knowledge to encourage people. Use your knowledge to strengthen and to minister to others. Use your insight, your skills of judgment. Use them through love. Don't use them to condemn or criticize other people, but use your insight to recognize other people's true value. Use your insight to minister to others in areas that maybe you can see they need ministering in. Let it come from love. Paul continues, he says, so that you, I want you to be able to discern what is best. So that you may be pure and blameless. I want you guys to be able to decide where your priorities lie. Where are you going to seek fulfillment? Because he goes on and says, because you know what? And I love this. You're filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That is fantastic. Paul tells them, you have chosen to submit to Christ. And he says, you know what? Jesus fills you with the fruits of righteousness to use this stuff. Which means that just some subwords off righteousness, you are filled with goodness. You are filled with decency. You are filled with integrity. You are filled with good morals. You are filled with honesty. You are filled with honor. You are filled with blamelessness. And all these things come from Jesus. He packs this stuff into you guys, but this stuff isn't meant to stay in here. This stuff is meant to go back out for the glory and praise of God. That is where true fulfillment is found. That is where Paul finds it. There's a guy in the Bible. There's a few guys in the Bible, to be honest, but there's a guy in the Bible called Solomon. King Solomon, you might know him as. And this guy, he was the wisest, one of the most powerful men of his time. He had 40,000 stalls of horses. He had 12,000 horsemen. He reigned over kingdoms. He had armies and navies. This guy was so powerful and rich that he had cedar and fir trees shipped in to build his house. That this wasn't a semi-detached on Conway Drive. This house took 13 years to build. 13 years to build. Every year, this guy Solomon received 660 talents of gold, which equates to just under £1 billion. Not a bad wage. I'm nearly there. No, I'm not. But imagine that amount. Imagine how powerful he is. The guy drank from pure gold cups. He ate off pure gold plates with pure gold utensils. He wouldn't allow silver because that wasn't good enough. This blows my mind. He had 700 wives. 700 wives. Not happy with that. He also had 300 concubines. This guy had so much. He tried to find fulfillment in so much. Do you know what he wrote? I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. All that stuff that he'd gone for, all the stuff he had, summed up by chasing the wind. Where are your priorities this evening? Where are they? What or where are you looking for fulfillment in this life? Enjoy life. I can't say that enough, and God can't say that enough. Enjoy life. But don't put your hopes of finding fulfillment in this worldly stuff. Don't waste your life chasing the wind, because you won't catch it. Make your priority God's work. Use what you have, your knowledge, your skills and insight, from a root of love. And use that to share Jesus with the world. Because when we put God's work first, no matter where we are, like Paul, we'll be thankful. I want to be thankful. When we put God's work first, no matter just like Paul, no matter where we are, we'll be joyful. I want to be joyful. And when we put God's work first, no matter where we are, like Paul, we'll be confident. And it's a confidence that's unbreakable through Jesus Christ that shines in us. And when we put God's work first, no matter where we are, like Paul, we'll find fulfillment. True, true fulfillment. Because God doesn't want you selling sugared water. He wants you to go with him and help change the world. And that'll rock you. Okay, we're just going to watch a quick video, if that's okay.